Podcast von Queer Up Radio.
Queer Report. LGBTI-Plus-Kinder sind in Europa mit verschiedenen Formen von Diskriminierung konfrontiert, wenn es darum geht, ihre Rechte wahrzunehmen. In Kontakt mit Justizsystem werden sie häufig doppelt diskriminiert, aufgrund von ihrem Alter und wegen ihrer sexuellen Orientierung oder Geschlechtsidentität. Die verfügbaren Daten über die Diskriminierungserfahrung von LGBTI-Plus-Kindern in Europa sind sehr beunruhigend. Das Schweizer Kinderhilfswerk Terre des Hommes hat zum Thema ein Challenge-Paper veröffentlicht unter dem Titel «Towards LGBTI-Plus-Sensitive Justice Systems for Children in Europe». Terre des Hommes, das ist das führende Kinderhilfswerk der Schweiz und ist in über 30 Ländern tätig. Die Organisation setzt sich dafür ein, dass die Rechte von Kindern und ihr Leben geschützt werden. Das Programm konzentriert sich auf den Bereich Gesundheit, Zugang zu Justiz für Kinder und Migration. Die Vision von Terre des Hommes ist eine Welt, wo die Rechte von Kindern immer respektiert werden, so wie sie auch in der Kinderrechtskonvention festgehalten sind. An der erwähnten Publikation beteiligt haben sich ExpertInnen und Fachleute für Kinderjustiz und LGBTI-Plus-Themen. Und ich konnte mich vor ein paar Tagen mit Marta Gil-González unterhalten. Die Marta ist stellvertretende Leiterin für das Justizprogramm bei Terre des Hommes. Das Interview habe ich auf Englisch geführt. Eine deutsche Übersetzung von den wichtigsten Aussagen werden wir in ein paar Tagen auf unserer Webseite aufschalten.
Marta, why did you create a challenging paper? What are the main objectives of the paper?
So it's a challenge paper on purpose. We have been researching and collaborating with LGBTI plus children and youth in Europe to research what they need, what are the rights that they cannot implement, they cannot exercise in the justice system. So this paper is a challenge paper because it's a call for action. We know that they need steps to make those rights a reality. And I just want to say that I think we all agree, children and youth, they do need to have equal rights. But I think children and youth that belong to a group that is called LGBT+, they self-identify or they are perceived that they do not have the same rights. They're not able to exercise these rights. So a challenge paper is let's go for action and make the rights a reality.
I ask me, are the existing general guidelines on the rights and protection of children not enough?
No, it's not enough. It's not enough because we know they are still facing discrimination. I will give you some examples that I think would be interesting. They say that we are children, we are youth. Everyone is telling us we have the same rights, but we cannot exercise them. When we are feeling stigmatization or discrimination, for example, in the school, they were telling us we would never go to our families. Or in the majority of cases, we will never go to the school principal, and for sure, we will never go to the police to report that maybe we have been victims of a crime, maybe someone is harassing us, maybe someone is beating us. So that is the reality. So absolutely, the guidelines, the existing guidelines that are talking about equal rights for children are not representing children that self-identify or are perceived as LGBTQI+. So more is needed, and this is what we're doing that.
There are already some surveys and studies on discrimination against LGBTI+ children in the legal system. What are the most important findings or key figures?
Absolutely. I think we did a very large survey. It's important to say that it was focusing on children and youth only. And I will give you a couple of figures that really, for me, were very striking and also for the team at Terre des Hommes. 47% of children and youth that belong to LGBTI plus groups, they were saying, we have experienced harassment at the police level when we have been in touch with justice systems, and also in a lot of cases at the school. So they live in an unprotected world. They don't feel that they can be free, that they can be protected whenever they feel an abuse of their rights, whenever they are, when their rights are violated. So this is that, no, for me, was a striking. 47% of children are saying, I don't feel safe. I don't have anyone to go if I face a harassment. That is one figure that it's a lot. We're talking about a lot of children and youth. And perhaps the other figure that I want to share with you is more than 30%. And we're talking about hundreds of children only in Europe. They are saying, if we are thinking to go to the police or to go to the justice system, what we have in the back of our minds is, do not act gay, do not act lesbian, do not act the way you are, because they would treat you. I mean, you would be, it would be really a problem for them. They would be experiencing discrimination at the police and justice level. That is huge, and that requires a solution.
Could you give us just some summary of the main content of the paper, and who is the paper for? What is the target group?
So they are, what is this paper about? Basically, we have, there are many areas of discrimination, right, that these children and youth are facing. But we want this paper, and this is why it's a challenge paper, to be specific, because we want action. And we have selected three areas in which we feel, and we know, and children and youth are saying that action is required. The first one is at the police level. This is really where the highest discrimination may happen. It's really when your rights as being a child and youth self-identify or perceive as LGBTI plus happen. So the police is one of the sectors in which we are claiming for changes. The second is the justice system. After the police, they should be able to exercise their rights. And they are saying prosecutors, judges, people that are working inside the justice system, they don't listen to us. They don't make us feel safe. We cannot go to the justice system. It will be worse for us, especially when there is a situation where they can be deprived of liberty. They experience much more deprivation of liberty just because they belong to this group. And the third one, and it's very, very important, is the protection systems. We talk about the police and the justice as security and justice sectors, but we need to think about schools. We need to think about families and communities, especially for the prevention, right? To make them not go to the police and justice. So we are giving some key recommendations on what is needed to be done. And this paper is for policymakers. This paper is for professionals working with children. Some of them unconsciously discriminate them, and they need to be aware. There needs to be an intentional change. But it's also for schools and communities, really for the public. In general public, they need to know that there is a discrimination that needs to be it needs to be solved. It needs to be addressed. I will give you perhaps some examples on the actions that we are that we're asking as a collectivity, and then Terre des Hommes is willing to move into that direction. There is a huge need of data. You know how it works for policymakers. You know how it works for political change. You need to give data, but these children and youth are never asked how they feel, what are the rights that they cannot exercise, how police, justice, and protection systems are treating them. This is the first study, but we're really asking for more data that is specific regarding children and youth that are part of this collective LGBTI+. And then very, very important as a second option, as a second alternative, when justice, police, and people that are working protection systems, they are not specialized. They treat children and youth as homogeneous group, but they're not. They are diverse. And even if they have the same rights, rights are not exercised the same way for a child that perhaps is a migrant, for a child that belongs to this group, for a child that that is in a different situation. So professionals need to receive a specialized training. They need to understand the realities of these children to be able to address their problems in a way that is non-discriminative. And the third action, I'm sure you would agree, there is a whole work to do on sensitization at the level of schools and also at the level of peers, right? I mean, they live in a world, they socialize with other children and youth. And we want to make, you know, a huge sensitization so there is equality within the diversity of children and youth. So these are our main areas. This is how we want to act.
Just mentioned the support systems are very important. Why?
So I will give you an example that perhaps is it could illustrate. And I'm taking some examples of what children and youth were telling us. They were saying, when you self-identify with someone that is not exactly what your identity paper is saying that you are, you don't get legal recognition sometimes. If you don't get legal recognition, you don't access health systems. If you are in a school and they are treating you as someone that you don't belong, you are going to face discrimination. You're going to be excluded for having a protective environment. You may not enter in some education groups because you feel that you're going to be discriminated. All of this is so important for someone that is a child or is a youth, imagining they're 12, 13 years old, and they cannot be who they are, and they cannot access services just because they don't have legal recognition. And when you don't self-identify with someone that your identity is saying, you are outside these systems. And the legal recognition of who they are, it's really, really important for access services. But beyond the legal recognition is a social acceptance of this diversity for them to be able to feel included and then be able to access some education services sometimes. I remember an example of someone that was saying, I would really like to sign up for this class that is about sports and music, but I know I'm not going to be accepted. This is a very simple example, but what it's telling us is like this child is not going to access this type of education just because he feels that he's not going to be accepted. So we are depriving them of their rights. That are on the support social systems. If you are a victim of a crime, if you are a victim of an abuse, if you are harassed, beaten up, and you feel that you cannot go to the police or the justice systems, like imagine the feeling of unsafety, you know, that you may feel. So I'm just giving you simple examples because sometimes through the data, we give numbers, but I feel as a professional working with them that sometimes the most simple examples are really the ones that are telling us why they are not able to access because they are simply, you know, they are simply different. They are part of another group of children and youth that should be treated equally.
You now published this challenge paper. Are additional actions planned in the future?
Absolutely. Yeah, as I was saying at the beginning, this is just the first step. We don't publish for the sake of publish. We publish for the sake of making people aware, really to bring this topic to the highest levels possible. We work with governments, we work with different groups, and for us, this is a challenge paper. This is a call for action. And what we are proposing are these three areas, no? Specialized capacity building for police and justice and protection actors. And we are proposing also a huge campaign around schools in Europe to be, you know, as diverse as possible. But one important thing here is we need to be also very careful to not stigmatize those children more, right? I mean, it's the narrative that we are bringing here is like equal children, equal rights, but with diversity and freedom. And I think that's important. It requires an intentional focus, but always in the sphere of equal rights. And to exercise equal rights, different actions are needed. And professionals need to understand that. And laws and regulations, they need to be intentionally addressing the discrimination of the children. So yes, we want to talk about children and youth, but we want to talk about different children and youth within the group they belong to.
If our listeners want more information, where can they find this about the paper and your organization?
So there are two ways of getting information and also engagement, because as I said, this is also for the public to support, to know more, to understand more the realities of these children and become supporters of changes at the legal level, but also at the social level. So to get access to this paper that we just published, we invite your listeners to enter in our web page. Is there tdh.org. But also, I think it's important to mention that we have created a very unique platform that is called Global Initiative on Justice with Children. And through that platform that already have a webpage and is called justicewithchildren.org, you can access also our paper and get in touch with us in case you want to be part of these campaigns. You are a child or a youth that is listening to us, we welcome you, to get in touch with us and really work with us. For us, it's very important that it's not justice for them, but it's justice with them. So, I'm also making a call for action to, it's really a pleasure to work with them and to listen to them. And this is how TDH work. We work with children, we work with youth, and we amplify their voices, in spaces that maybe are more difficult for them to access.
Thank you very much, Marta, for this information and you in the world of LGBTI children.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to discuss and thank you for the opportunity and also for giving in a space again for us, but mainly for them to achieve their rights progressively and make an equal world that we all want.
So wie das Gespräch mit der Marta Achil González, stellvertretende Leiterin fürs Justizprogramm bei Terre des Hommes. Ich habe mich mit ihr über ein kürzlich publiziertes Challenge Paper unterhalten.
Ganze Sendungen und mehr findest du auf queerupradio.ch.